On the advice of their lawyers and also their doctors, Off the Perch Podcast would like to inform all listeners that the opinions expressed in these recordings are solely personal and do not reflect the views of any organizations they are associated with. As such, if you are offended by any content herein, please contact Off the Perch directly and they will be addressed live on the next show.
This is Off the Perch, a New York Red Bulls supporters podcast.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Jiki finds a sugar dime, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what?
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Off the Perch. It's Steve.
It's Chris.
And Pat is on assignment. He's currently stuck at an NYPD subway station bag check line.
Yeah.
He cannot make it this week.
Currently finding the armies of police officers traversing the Times Square subway stop, all levels. Like every train that goes through there, there's just different battlegrounds down there. He's trying his best.
You would think that the NYPD would be playing like Pokemon Go instead of Candy Crush, because like they would just be the ultimate gym leaders. Like
yeah, just walking around,
be there
yeah.
to just defend their gym at every station.
You would think, but yeah, no. Apparently, Candy Crush is their game of choice.
Yeah. So we took last week off because
we lost, and we don't
lost.
No joke.
So that's like our running trope. Like, <We're>
I think everyone understood. It's like, yeah, that we lost. So
what were we going to talk about?
Yeah, like, right. Not the game.
We would bitch about losing 3-0 to Columbus, and then like be so negative about what turned out to be one of the funnest games in recent memory.
It was like it was worth it. Like that game was worth the traversing of like fords and rivers. Fucking yeah. Oh man, like I there were moments that game made me forget how like absolutely miserable I was in terms of just like the weather, where I was freezing, but then like rain was hitting us sideways at the top of 101.
Yeah, that was bad. Like it was almost on par with that NYC game, but like that game was also like a good 30 degrees warmer.
Yeah, we were in shorts and shit. Like you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like okay, I'm wet, but like it's not 40 something degrees out. So it's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. There wasn't a chance of snow in the forecast for that game.
Yeah. So 4-0 against the retirement home against Del Boca Vista FC.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a good win. It was a good comeback win after the shit that was the Columbus game, which I still haven't gone back to see because I kind of don't want to, but I should at some point just to kind of see what were the biggest flaws.
Was Sean Nealis wasn't on the field. Oddly enough, like I don't know. It was just like Reyes and Eiley
just
together
weren't the good tandem. So
yeah that's kind of how it felt like watching it at the time. But gotcha. Yeah.
Right. Well, for the Miami game we had Nealis and Reyes. Last year's our most common tandem, we just ran roughshod on a Miami team that just feels like they didn't want to be there. Like
I legitimately didn't think they were going to come out for the second half.
That to me would have been I would have accepted it. I would have been like, yeah, I get it. Like they just for people that weren't at the game or saw the game at halftime, like. The Red Bulls came out and were ready. They were warming up. They like got into the position for kickoff, and then they just waited. And like for a good it felt like 3-4 minutes, Miami didn't come out to the point where like everyone was just like, are they forfeiting? Are they not coming back out? Like what's going on here? And like they eventually did come out, but it was just like I would not have been surprised if they just said, "Nah, we're done. Like we're not going."
Yeah,
back
I mean,
there.
in hindsight, like. A forfeit's a 3-0 loss.
Like, there you go.
It would have been better for them.
Yeah, no, honestly, if they would have just like said like, no, we're good, we're gonna go back on the bus and just fucking get the fuck out of this terrible, yeah, terrible climate.
Yeah, what was really interesting, I went back and like rewatched parts of the game,
mm-hmm,
and I just wanted to know what the commentary was at the time, like on TV, and they kept cutting to the camera that's like in the tunnel, right where they come out at midfield.
Yeah.
And the only players that were visible were Julian Gressel and the like third string goalkeeper that they had in.
Oh, Santos, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody else, like nobody else was there, and their body language, like Larissa was calling it out when we rewatched it. Yeah. And she's like, look how embarrassed they are. Like, look at, like, they're just, Gressel looks so just defeated by this attitude from the rest of the team.
Yeah. Because, I mean, and, for all intents and purposes, like, Gressel is an MLS lifer. Like, he's been around it. This is not the worst, probably not the worst climate he's played in. So it's just like, whatever. Like, fucking come on. Like, you fucking divas, like Busquets and Suarez that are just, there's a picture of Suarez that, like, kind of like not cringing, but like he just did like looked like miserable
when he came back when they came out of the tunnel. Like he could barely walk.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I cannot believe that Tata Martino left him in the game.
He played all 90 minutes.
Like,
yeah,
like, was this punishment? Did they get into an argument in the locker room and Tata's like, you know what, fuck you, you're playing the whole game? Like,
maybe. Yeah,
it was bizarre.
It was, but like all in all, like everyone on our side pretty much came out to play. They're like, not really much to like, there's not one player that you can point to and say like, oh, they had a bad game. It's hard to when it's a 4-0 win. Like, we got a clean sheet and we knocked in 4 goals. Gengar started, he played well. Like the midfield was solid. The back line was solid. Duncan had I think there was like one or two, there was like one thing where Duncan did that I was just like, eh, but it ultimately ended up in like nothing really happening. Yeah. And then like Miami had like 7 shots total. Were there any on target? 2 on target, but like, yeah, they just didn't, it was just not, they just didn't show up. They didn't, yeah, show up. They didn't have their fucking meal ticket, like, and then like a bunch of other players didn't show up. So they essentially forfeited without forfeiting. It was very weird.
Yeah, this felt like an NBA game when they're like doing load management,
right?
And like,
right,
you know, the Warriors roll into, you know,
San Antonio,
shitty team. Yeah, they roll into San Antonio, and like everybody's resting.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, what it felt like. They had like one veteran, quote unquote, veteran presence in like Suarez, but like he's not really a veteran in terms of the grand scheme of things.
Well, I mean, Busquets was out there.
Oh yeah, Busquets.
Jordi,
yeah,
Alba was out there.
True.
But no, there was like no leadership. Like there was nobody. They looked like they were straight up just like collecting a paycheck, like, yeah, just, you know, start the clock, let's go. Like,
yeah, like the more that I look at the starting lineup, it's not like they didn't have, like, Campana was there. Like when Messi wasn't there, Campana was a good player for them. Like he still is a good player for them. He shines more now that like he has more opportunities, given that like when Messi's on the field, opposing teams will kind of gravitate toward trying to lock him down, which frees him up. But he was out there and really didn't do much. So yeah, just all in all, just felt like a game where just Miami just didn't really care for it, which is strange given it's an Eastern Conference opponent. It is a road game, but like still. And yeah, I think for us, it was just like, we had to bounce back from that shitty Columbus loss, and Miami was just the victim. Going to the two, I guess, star players, in the sense that like they were both named to the team of the week, and Morgan was the player of the week. Van Zierman and Morgan up top was a really deadly combination. Like,
yeah,
to the point where it's just like, maybe we should not the Vanzier Manuel, like up top, like is not the way to go. I don't know if, like there are moments, there's glimpses where you saw like they kind of work together, but it's not the best. But like Vanzier and Morgan, Vanzier ended with 4 assists, which is fucking insane. Like in there's like.
Yeah, and they were all primary assists.
Yeah, there wasn't like
set
a
set the team right. record, set the team record and tied the league record.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. And then Morgan with a hat trick and just played out of his fucking mind. While also still, despite the fact that he's been with us for a few years now, still is respectful to his old team that he didn't really want to celebrate that much. Despite him scoring a hat trick, because it was against his old team, which I guess respect to him. I feel like at a certain point, like you can celebrate. Like it's been a few years now, Lewis. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was in a wild game from like start to finish in terms of just how solid we were offensively, and then defensively we just kind of secure the game. And like again, Miami wasn't really up for the challenge in my opinion, but we still had to fulfill our side of the bargain, and getting 4 goals in a game despite the weather, I know that our players were probably miserable too, but yeah.
Yeah, it's I was kind of expecting, you know, Tata Martino to, you know, I know he bitched a bunch after the game in the press conference, but like I was expecting more along the lines of the LAFC complaints that like we had to play in a blizzard and RSL didn't, and they beat us 3-0. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
Like, yeah, they were also on the field as well, playing in the same conditions. Like,
yeah, same weather.
Yeah, same weather.
They... But no, I think this game, like, if the season continues to go better than we expected,
mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be like one of those key moments, like confidence builders, especially absolutely. For a guy like Vanzier, who, you know, he struggled to score, you know, had the you know, racist incident last year, and fans rightfully, you know, turned their back on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's being able to go out there and still contribute and literally contribute on every single goal that we scored that day.
Yeah.
You know, it's who knows, maybe his role here is to be the setup man.
That's maybe his calling for us. Yeah, exactly. Like maybe we did him a disservice. Well, the front office did him a disservice and how they rolled him out as being like this like golden boot winner, when maybe he's just a contributor. Like maybe he's just a solid assist guy and just setting people up for goals. Cause like what we saw on Saturday was, and I mean, 4 assists, 4 primary assists doesn't happen. Like he broke the record. It was insane. It was a good glimpse to see like what our options are, given the fact that we were kind of going into this game looking at it, it's just like, oh, we're kind of running a skeleton crew. We have a bunch of players out. We don't know what our offense is going to look like, this, that, and the other. For us to kind of like have this performance with Forsberg, who in prior weeks we have seen has been kind of integral into how our offense was going to look like it was going to work this season, for us to kind of go out there and be like, well, we can still score goals without him. That's good to see. So I was kind of worried at the, like, where we're just like, man, if Forsberg is gone, we're just going to be back in like last year's territory where we just don't, we have no offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it also was good to see Mir out there. It was good to see him get a start, get a clean sheet. He got a clean sheet against Luis Suarez. not many people can say that. And you know, the guy from Yonkers just still going out there and just having solid performances for us. I'm not sure what else there is to really kind of like talk about in this game. It was just a complete domination from start to finish. Like at no point did I ever feel threatened by what Miami was putting forward. There was maybe, I think there was like early in the game, there was a few chances, I think, that like, well, where they were kind of like knocking at the door, but like after that it was just all us. They really never had a, despite having the bulk of the possession, this was a stereotypical like Red Bull style game in the sense that they had 69% possession.
Nice.
to our 30, like basically 31%. And we, you know, wiped the floor with them. Just a complete victory in all sense of the word, where we got our strategic, like fucking our tactics, and we applied it to them, and they had no way to counter it. Or I don't know if they cared to. I don't know if they wanted to. Solid win. Good bounce back win after Columbus, and hopefully this momentum we carry into the rest of the season. I'd love to see more games like this. That'd be great. That was the closest I felt to like a solid like a 2018 game. Like if it was nicer weather, I would have been like so much more like in a better mood, but my feet were like soaked and I was freezing, and I was just like, I'm watching the game, but I'm just like focused on like, are my feet, am I going to get trench foot?
If this was like, if this was 2018 and this game was in like June or July instead of March, like we would have busted out like a homemade slip and slide outside the stadium. Like we would have been shit posting like crazy. Yeah. Like we would have just brought back Tijuana Tuesday. It would not have made any sense, exactly. But it just would have been back. Like
there was one thing that was the closest thing that I've seen from the Red Bulls like Twitter account that felt like 2018 vibes, where they tweeted like, I gotta find that tweet.
Oh, was it like them celebrating in front of us after the game, and it was like still waiting for Miami to come out for the second half? Yeah, that was amazing.
That's the kind of stuff we like to see.
Yeah,
bring that kind of energy. Like as long as we keep up the results, have that energy going forward. But yeah, now on to that was Miami. I guess we could keep talking about it, but we'd have to move on at some point. Like the only one, actually one more thing. You were talking about how like Tata was like shitting on his players, like to the degree where he's just like New York came to play and we didn't, and then it was just like it reminded me of the fucking Armas meme, so I posted that. That was
that
was good. Not to pat myself on the back, but I enjoyed remembering that, at least that moment. I guess on to more strange news. Like, so we played Saturday, we beat this team, we beat Miami 4-0, good win for us. Monday morning rolls around, and we see first there's a Instagram post from Emil's Forsberg's wife. Essentially saying like I'm divorcing you, Emil Forsberg. Like you've ghosted your family. You're not talking to us. You pretend we don't exist. This, that, and the other. And you know I'm leaving you. And when I saw that morning, I was just like, man, is this what like being like a, this is like a big club like moment where it's like we have a solid result on Saturday and then we're on the tabloids Monday morning. Like this is what like a big club in like Europe feels like back in like the 2000s, where like a team would win like 4-0, and then like there'd be a story in like the fucking tabloids about how like a player was like caught in a nightclub or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is a much weirder story. It's just strange that like I remember us hearing about. I got confused because I remember when they announced Schwartz. I got it mixed up with when they announced Forsberg, because I thought Forsberg was bringing his family to bring his family stateside, but it's actually Schwartz that's bringing his family stateside. We never heard anything about Forsberg's family, and now to find this out about it is just like Jesus,
if this was happening in England, like the Sun and the Daily Mail would be just having an absolute field day. Like they'd Red Bull gives you wings. Emil Forsberg flies the coop. And abandons family.
Someone
Like,
in the Red Bulls Discord posted Divorceburg.
course.
And I was just like that if soccer was more popular, like that would have been the headline on the New York Post back page, like for like
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it
I
was
mean,
more
it
one of them.
sucks because, like, you know, they got kids and,
Yeah, it's
like,
fucking weird,
you
man.
know, it's just, you know, obviously there's, you know, two sides to every story and whatnot, you know.
It's
We're
still
also
just weird.
relying on like Google Translate of an Instagram post,
True, true.
which apparently has been like verified by Swedish speakers that are like, yeah, no, this is the correct translation.
I made the mistake of going into the like replies of her post, and people were just like, "Oh, you shouldn't be sharing this," and like stuff like that. It's like, man, her husband disappeared, and she hasn't,
Yeah.
and he hasn't reached out to them in months. What do you
Yeah.
mean? Like, yeah, he's a public figure, and like, yeah, maybe she can't literally reach him, so she's gonna have to do something, and this is what she did. I'm now bracing myself like to hear away support or not away supporters, like other team supporters do chants for him, because I feel like if they don't, then the game's gone.
Yeah.
It has to be done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we did Tom Brady deadbeat dad up in New England
Yeah,
forever. Like,
the
you know, it's,
Harkses, fucking
yeah,
all
how's
the
your
whole.
wife and how's Hark's
Yeah,
kids? You know,
exactly. It's par for the course in supporter
Oh
culture.
yeah, I mean, we would be lining up like 90 minutes of shit if he played for NYC.
Right, exactly. But I going back to like the actual like game, like I do. I don't know if it'll affect him. Like I don't know how. He seems like a mentally kind of like strong player, but again, we'll see as the weeks and months kind of go on, like
Yeah.
how he takes it, like how it affects him. I don't know. We'll just have to wait
Yeah,
and see on that front, like because
I mean, he could just have some like divorced dad energy
and
out
just
there.
go just
Like,
ball out. Yeah,
yeah.
that might be a something that happens. Yeah, but a strange news story. This is like the first time in a while that we've had a story like kind of like this. Like this is with like a with an international signing and like just like a controversy. Like this feels like friend like Rost and the fuck my brain always was the player on the beach for the Metro days.
Oh, fuck, the German,
Yeah, the German guy, I forgot his name.
Lothar.
Lothar Matthäus, yeah.
Yeah.
This just feels like something like that, where it's just like a genuine controversy.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the closest we've gotten to this was Fanzier's ex-girlfriend, like, calling him a fuck boy
Yeah,
on Instagram.
that stemmed from I well yeah, the controversy in that sense, yes. That but like I mean like extracurricular, you know what I mean? Like outside of the game. Like Van Zier's thing was unfortunately happened during a game. This is more just like life shit. And it's weird. But yeah. Every year now we just get a new wave to just fucking a new story, a new fucking like dramatic side note to our season. So yeah, there'll probably be more developments as more stuff comes out. Yeah, anyways, so as I mentioned before, Lewis Morgan, based on the hat trick he got, was named the player of the week by MLS. Him and Van Zier were on the team of the week or team of the match day or whatever it's called. So that's some accolades for them. There's not much else in terms of news. Any transfer rumors, nothing of that sort. So onwards we go.
Actually,
Oh.
I have one thing I wanna say,
Yeah, sure. Shoot.
sort of related to that. So we're used to the MLS paid media just like disregarding us as like an organization and like fan base and everything. Like they never talk highly of us. They never praise us or say, you know, we're doing the right thing. I've noticed a lot of positivity around us from guys like Doyle and now Taylor Twellman and like some other people at Major League Soccer, soccer.com. And I think they know who we're getting in the summer. I don't know who it is. I've not heard anything. I have no basis for this other than me reading probably too far into this, but I just watched a video earlier today of Taylor Twellman talking about how like we're not a supporter field challenging team yet, but if we get a number nine in the summer, like we will be. And they don't talk about us that way unless
There's something
they
in the
know
pipe.
something.
Yeah, unless there's something in the pipe that's like.
So like I don't think it's Timo Werner anymore. I think that Spurs, you know, they already said they're gonna take the buy option. But I think that they, you know, the media is fucking the only people that cover this league are paid by the league. I think they know who we're getting. And like I said to Larissa while we were eating dinner, I'm like, I think they're purposely being overly positive about us now so that we have no fucking receipts to go back at them. Like, if this works out.
So my
Like,
so
if.
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so my the person I was wanted to see come was Giroud, but apparently he's going to LAFC because they had his discovery rights. I mean, if they know who it is, and that's why they're being so nice to us recently, like, okay. Yeah, I have noticed the uptick in terms of like more positive messaging around us. I just I always my in my head I just always thought of just like them being nice to us or nice when talking about us is just because like at a certain point the league is just paying these guys to shit on a team in their league, and Don Garber wants people to go to our games just like when he wants to go to like other like NYC games and shit like that. Like I think, but like if they're like bracing themselves like like preemptively not eat crow, then okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I could be completely off base here, but
No,
it's
it's a good
just,
theory. It's a good theory. No, yeah.
it's the way they're talking about us.
Yes,
It's
it's
like
much different
the,
than the past.
yeah, it's like, yeah, they're playing well and blah blah blah, but like once they get a number nine, it's like, what do you mean? Like, why are we constantly talking about like the summer window, guys? Like, what's happening?
Usually their butt would be like after the butt would be like, well, they're never going to win like X, Y, or Z like cup or whatever. Like now it's more just like they have the chance to do that when if and heavy very heavy quotes on the if they know like something if they sign someone in the summer. So yeah, it does feel like there is a different messaging, a different way they're talking about us. That is for sure. Especially Doyle, it's very strange. There's a few times where I've been like, who the hell are you? What have you done to the bitter person that I poke fun of? Yeah, we'll have to wait and see to the summer window, see if that is actually something that does happen. That we do get a number nine. But onto our game this weekend, this Saturday. It's a Saturday, correct? Yeah, Saturday. We play Orlando City down in Orlando. Orlando City, they are a soccer team. Last I checked, yes. They are currently in 13th place in the Eastern Conference. They're in the bottom three. One win, one draw, three losses. Their last game, though, it's a 2-0 win at home against Austin FC. Before that, they lost three straight. They lost 5-0 in the opener to Orlando to Miami. Then they lost to Minnesota, and then Atlanta beat them. And Yeah, it's weird given the fact that like Orlando's been like a semi-decent team in recent years, with Oscar Pereja heading them. So to see them kind of in this spot is weird given the fact that they picked up Lodeiro, which when I saw him on my screen wearing the Orlando jersey, I was like, wait, what? When did this happen? But yeah, he's apparently at Orlando now. They still have Pedro Gallese in goal. They're an overall solid team, but they're kind of on a rocky start. So what are you feeling, Steve, for the game down in Orlando on Saturday?
I mean,
do you think we carry the momentum from the 4-0 into this game? I think we can. We got players. Forsberg is, based on reports, Forsberg is, quote, nursing an injury. You don't know if it's emotional or physical. Well, they say it's physical, but maybe it's emotional. And then I think we have a few other injuries as well. So, like, we're not going to be back at full strength, but we're going to be close enough to it.
Yeah, like, we get Eiley back. We get Bolkin.
Cornell's back.
Cornell. Edelman will serve his red card suspension.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We get the refs back.
Oh, right. That is news we got to share. Yeah.
The scabs are gone.
The scabs. The refs union accepted the last deal that was offered to them. So this is the first week where they'll be back full time. So the scabs are gone.
So like next game at RBA, no more yelling scab, just regular cursing.
Just regular refs. Yeah, exactly. It's come from a different place. It's going to be the familiar faces that you know and hate.
Yes, exactly. I think we could build off this momentum. You know, I think there's, but I think this, I don't want to say this team has a swagger to it, but like, I think that they're not, this isn't the same like kind of turtle and like get in the fetal position and you know, hope that it's over. Yeah.
Was it like that when for the Columbus game, was that more of just like an outskill thing and less of us playing afraid? It was just like, we got played off the field.
They literally were just like we could not string more than two passes together.
They just had, yeah, okay.
They knew exactly where to be before our players did. Gotcha. It was just they perfectly threw up a game plan to destroy us.
Gotcha. Okay. No, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean by the mentality. It does feel like we have a different mentality compared to last year, where we were much more prone to just kind of like capitulating at anything. Like that, it does feel different. I know it's a small sample size so far, given it's only like a few games in. But you do get the sense that it does that the younger players have a year under their belt. The players that we've brought in kind of bring in a little bit of veteran leadership. Morgan is a steady hand. All these players kind of know, they've seen a lot more now. So it's less shell shock, occurs.
Yeah,
whenever shit might go bad.
Yeah. And you know, it's nice having a manager that you don't have to worry about is going to stop talking to you because you had, you know, a bad half in one game.
Right. We haven't gotten any reports or inklings of that. It feels like a much more harmonious locker room compared to Struber. I think or like the 2-0 win against Austin is also not really good this year. They're second to last in the Western Conference. I think it was just a matter of a home game, and it was just like a best of the worst where they just said, all right, we'll just take the 3 points at home, please. Thank you. But I think it's different in our case. I think we can go down there and make kind of a mark, like have our tactics, have our game plan, and just go out there and put on a good result. I think 2-1 is what I think is going to happen. I think we're still going to let in a goal. Sometimes I worry, like with the changing of like our back line, sometimes Duncan might be due for a mistake that leads to a free kick, and then we're still not good on set pieces. Like we still not might not have like whatever we're supposed to do during like setting up a wall might not be good. So that's where I think like we can give up one, but I still think we can get out of there with 3 points given the state of Orlando this season so far.
Yeah. I'll say 2-1.
2-1. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't rain down there. Hopefully the players get decent weather compared to this past Saturday. I can't get over how miserable that game was. Let's go to questions. One second, let me just pull them up. Question time. We got lots of questions. Thanks for sending them. They are great. First question is from Lagu135 on Twitter. He asks, and I when I read this first, I was just like, ooh, I like this. He says, thoughts on the club's sports washing of Dante Van Zier, and are Morgan and Dante really our best pairing up top? I think what he's referring to is, and Steve, you've probably seen it, it's the video of Van Zier taking off his jacket during like anthem and the procession and giving it to the kid that they walk out of the locker room with onto the field. That has gained traction like in a way that like I wasn't really expecting. Where like a bunch of MLS personalities covered it, like a bunch of like newspapers and like media places, like even like the Today Show like talked about it. Like it's gotten attention from a lot of places. And the team has been, you know, it's an opportunity where they can kind of like say like, look, it's such a feel good moment, this, that, and the other. Ignore the stuff from last season. Essentially, that's what they're trying to do.
I mean, I'm of the
skeptical side. Like, yeah, you're not gonna not say something. It's good that he did it. Like, obviously. I don't think it was a whole PR production. Like, I just thought, I don't think there was someone in the locker room being like, hey, it's raining outside, take off your jacket and give it to the kid in front of you. He's gonna score us points. Like, I don't think it's to that level. Like the after the fact stuff is just like a good positive. And they're taking advantage of it, obviously, because like it's media attention. They'll take it wherever they can get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is just me asking a question. This is not me inferring that I am on any side or arguing any point.
Yes.
But like, what point is a person rehabilitated? Like, at what point do they get to have done what they needed to do to like grow from I want to say mistake, like grow from a shitty moment where they fucked up, did something wrong? Do they just wear a scarlet letter forever?
No, like, I'm with you.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm with you in the sense that like everyone should have a moment should have the ability to be rehabilitated and to be forgiven to a degree for prior mistakes or for prior things that they've done. Obviously, like yes, like I don't believe like you should have it held over you. I mean, to the point where like people will poke fun at it. Like people like do tweets and make funny jokes where it's just like the one I saw that was really good was just like Dante Van Zier like made 4 assists. That's the most he's done in like something like 6. I forgot the exact tweet.
Yeah, it was Dante Van Zier has the most assists in MLS in 6 games. For yes. more on that, Google yes, Dante Van Zier 6 games.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That will always be like that's gonna always be funny to me. Like that. Like
yeah. Unfortunately, the thing that made me laugh the most about that is the person that tweeted that
is a Sons of Ben
Union.
Yeah,
and a Sons of Ben guy.
And
that
yeah.
like. People were pulling up receipts of him
defending Kai Wagner.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, yes, no.
No, like those in glass houses. And stones. Exactly. Yes, those in glass houses should, despite it being a good tweet, you've set yourself up to be fucking called out for it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
and then he tried to like, I saw like I was going through the replies, and he tried to say that like. Dante refused to do like any of the like education stuff, and I was like, no, I'm not here to defend the guy, but like he straight up did more than he needed to. Like
the only thing I always go back to of that whole incident was just like the interviews he had like in Belgian press where he was just like, oh, I didn't mean it, I was talking to the ref. Like that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way in the sense that it was like an after the fact like trying to like puff piece in the sense that you're trying to absolve yourself. He was trying to absolve himself of what happened. That always rubbed me the wrong way. But do I believe that someone after an incident can be absolved or can be kind of like made whole essentially? I do. It's just, I don't know. And again, we're probably the only people that still like even remember that it happened. Like I don't, and obviously like, other MLS fans. So like,
I don't know. It's just like, look, as somebody who grew up in public school in New York City,
mm-hmm.
like I will say that I've probably said a lot worse shit than Dante Van Zier has.
As someone that played on Xbox Live when I was 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
Like it's everyone has things that they're not proud of what they've done or said and look back at it and says like, I've grown from that. And do I think, I think I even said it back when it happened. Like, do I want Dante Van Zier to grow from this? Yes, absolutely. At the time I was just like, I didn't want him to like grow and to do it with us. Like my position on that's kind of like, it's like of the same mindset, but also like a little less rigid. Like I'm a little bit more flexible about it.
Like,
cause like time has passed and it seems like he's learned his lesson. We haven't had more incidents. There hasn't been things with teammates. Like, who's that DC guy that, was it Funtas?
Yeah.
Like there's stuff like he was essentially a repeat offender where like there's it's happened multiple times. Like we haven't had that.
And he was like refusing to cooperate with any investigations.
Exactly. Like,
you know, I'm not going to say that, like, you know, we should all go out and buy Dante Van Zier jerseys.
No, but like, right.
To just like, I don't know, just completely bemoan him for the rest of his existence feels kind of like,
It's very black and white. It's a very black and white way of viewing things. And listen, I get that mentality to some degree, but also it's just like we're all human. And he seems to have hopefully learned his lesson. Like we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But yeah.
Yeah, you do something that gets you thrown in jail, you serve your time, you come out. Like you rehabilitate yourself, you get a second chance.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it just seems like people don't get that second chance for, you know, some things.
For certain things, yeah. And it's just a nature of, I guess, like society where things are more reactionary and people are quicker to just dismiss a person because of one thing. And again, I'm not going to forgive him for what happened. I'm not like, that's something that's still, it still happened. And he's, from what I, again, from what I've seen, he's trying to move past it. And do I think what the club did was quote unquote sports washing? To a degree, yeah. Like it's just them trying to present a nice moment. If the camera was not focused on him first, and like we saw like Lewis Morgan put the jacket on, like it would have been Lewis Morgan's moment. Like it's just you know.
It's just that it started with Van Zier, I think. Yeah, and then Morgan was like, the one at the end, like right.
Exactly. You know. Yeah. It's just that he was the guy that started the chain, essentially. So like it wasn't like fabricated, but like it's just a feel good moment that the club is kind of using to portray us in a positive light, which is what our media are, what are like our social media and our like media side supposed to do. Essentially, they're trying to like stir up interest so that people buy tickets and come to games.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The second part of the question was more sports focused. Was that are Morgan and Dante really our best pairing up top? And
I think right now
that they are. And I almost want to see if like a Morgan Manuel link up, but all, like just to see what that is compare. Like I kind of want to just do like a side by side comparison. Like I want to see what happens. Like Manuel's more of a striker in the sense that he can generate goals by like not to an amazing rate, but he can still generate goals every once in a while. From what we've seen from Van Zier, if it's not a volley, it's not going to be a goal. So for us to see him like get four assists in a game, it's just like, whoa, that's not something I don't know if I can see Manuel do, but I still want to see what a Morgan Manuel up top pairing looks like. Just to compare the two, because I don't think it's Van Zier and Manuel up top. I don't think that's the best option for us offensively. Like we've seen a few games, we've seen preseason. It like yeah, we've gotten results, but like I don't know, man. Fucking a hat trick and four assists between our like two players up top is that's as good as it gets in for fucking. A pairing.
About the best pairing we've had since
what, like
BWP and
Royer?
And Royer.
Yeah. 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 No, truly. Yeah. Yeah, I think they are. And listen, if they don't, I would not be like, the more I think about it, the more I just like maybe not do the experiment with Manuel and just maybe just have Manuel as a bench option. Because yeah. Let's see if it was a flash in the pan. Thank you for the question, Lagu, or the questions. Ed Ritter, it is a question. There are two questions in this GIF. It's a GIF from BoJack Horseman where it's saying, "Is this real? Is this happening?" It's real. It's happening. We're still early days, but it's nice that we're in this position. We're currently, what are we right now? We're in third place in the East, overall, I don't know where we are.
We're like still in the top five.
Like still top five, right? Yeah. It's a good start to the season. I think it's our best start since like 20. Yeah, I would have to go back and check, but it's a really good start. It's a really good start despite the Columbus loss. We're playing an attractive style of soccer. I'm not ready to fully say like this is it, like this is the team that's gonna like get us to like another shield. I still think there's pieces missing. But if we're running at this pace, say in like May, then I'd feel more comfortable saying like this is a team that can achieve a shield or postseason glories. So we'll see what happens there. I was gonna say like we can win a US Open Cup, but we're not playing in it. RB2 is playing in it and they won their game. We forgot to mention that. It's this whole Open Cup thing with like RB2. I don't know how I feel about it yet. Like, I didn't go to the game one because it was like my mother-in-law was over and the weather was just miserable. So I was just like, no, I'm not going to that. It's weird, like, that it's RB2 that's playing in it. So that part just kind of makes the whole experience kind of weird for me. I'll still follow along with it, obviously, but just like, it's not, I'm a fan of the New York Red Bulls. So like, that's, if there's a two at the end of it, it's kind of makes my brain just feel like, well, that's not right. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Do you have anything to add, Steve? Like, do you think this is an upwards trend, or is this just like a fluky start to the season?
I mean, I think it's an upwards trend.
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. There we go.
Okay, sorry. So it took us 12 games last year to get to double-digit points.
Okay, wow.
And we're already at 10. We're already at 10 points this year.
God.
We didn't get to double-digit points until we beat NYC in May in Troy's first league game as manager. And that got us to 12 points in 12 games. So, like, as long as, you know, we get one win or, you know, three draws in the next 7 games, I think we're doing better.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's just my cynicism. That's
getting. No. I don't blame you.
But yeah, I think if we have a few more weeks of these kind of results, I just do want us to kind of have a game where we play like a team of like the caliber of like a Columbus, and we don't shit the bed like we did against Columbus. Like, that to me is something that
we've played good caliber teams.
I think we have, but then also, like, it's hard to say. Like, I think,
like, Nashville was
a good team. But did they have what's his head? What's his what's the names? What's the guy's name? Their striker. Oh, fuck, what's
Mukhtar?
Mukhtar, yeah. Did Mukhtar play that game?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, it's stuff like that where I'm still cautious. Like, it was the first start. That was a draw. That was the first game in the year, and like, we got out of there with a point, which is great. Like, yeah. Houston was another good result on the road. Dallas, I don't know, Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cincinnati game.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
sorry. I think the Cincinnati game next week is going to be the next big test.
Yeah.
And man, I cannot wait to, like, listen to their supporters cry
just here,
about, just, like, everything.
Every time.
Everything.
Well, We'll get more into it next week. But yeah, it's like, man, they get so mad when they play us. It's so funny. It's like, it's amusing, so to me. It's like to the degree, it's like Philly fans where they're just like, oh, like, we're your rivals, or we're just like, no. But like, I never laughed at them. I never really laughed at them. It was just from like, no. Like with Cincinnati guys, they're just like, we hate you guys. I'm just like, what? Okay,
what? I don't even know who you are. What, it's the Batman scene.
It's like, what?
In the elevator where he's like,
like, Don Draper says, like, I don't know who you are. Like, you guys,
heard
basically in a different time zone.
Yeah. Which perfect representation of this. One of those stupid fucking social media accounts, casual ultras, whatever.
Yeah.
Posted a video of, like, LAFC has a lot of female capos, and like, posted a video of them capoing with, like, what the fuck is this? Like, laughing at it.
And, wait, what?
And one of, like, everybody's replying, and it was like, well, that's a woman. See, they exist.
Yeah.
There are these things. They make up half the population. But
They get to do things too. Like
yeah,
what?
but anyway, the point I'm making is there was a Cincinnati fan that responded,
Oh
and
no.
because people are talking about like US style support and everything. It's always, ha ha ha, they're not ultras. And it's like, no, we're
Right.
not. And there was a Cincinnati fan that responded. It was a video of their section, whatever the fuck they call it. And was like, oh, like, US support like is super unique. The atmosphere is great for like big rivalry matches and local derbies. Like, this is the Cincinnati supporters when they were playing the New York Red Bulls last year. And I'm like, you're
What?
not your fucking
Wait,
rivals.
what? It's not
Like,
even remotely
stop.
close. You just
Like,
hate us because, like, what? Because we signed a player from you guys? We like got a.
you got so much allocation money for him.
Yeah.
Stop.
Be happy. That helped you guys win.
Jesus.
That you guys giving us a Maya essentially led to where you guys are right now. So, like, you're welcome. You're.
Yeah.
You got a shield. Like, congrats. But yeah, it's what are we talking about? My
We were
brain
talking
just.
about
Oh, the next test. Yeah. So yeah, we'll get into that more next week when we talk about the game against Cincinnati. But yeah. Careful optimism is the kind of route I'm going right. Thank you, Ed, for the questions. Upstate Trash asks, thoughts on if this was more of Miami shitting the bed or us playing incredibly well on the day?
I think like it was 30% them shooting the bed and 70% us just playing really well.
Yeah. I think it was a little column A, a little column B. I think it was, I'm gonna say like, yeah, like 65, 35, 70, 30. Like they just looked like they had no interest in being out there. But we had to, like I said, we had to kind of fulfill the other side of the bargain, and we showed up, and we, despite the weather, because again, we were in it too, we fucking showed up and had a very solid performance. Very good performance. Not solid. It was a very good performance. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It was just good on the day. It was we showed up, and that's what counted. They didn't, we did, and we got the 3 points and lots of goals and assists. Thank you for the question, Upstate Trash. Our final question of the night is from Nerdwitch. Want to ask if we trust that Lewis Morgans can stay productive for the rest of the season. Do you think the team needs to splash on a big name goal getter, or go for a more unheralded but experienced forward to take some responsibility away and bang a few in? We trust that Lewis Morgans can stay productive for the rest of the season. That's the thing. I don't. I'm of the. I don't want to. Can he stay healthy? I think he can, but it's just, I'd rather err on the side of caution and be prepared in the chance that he can't.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about him remaining healthy versus like being productive on the field. Just because, hamstring injuries are fucking weird.
Yeah, and hips are
You
fucking
know,
weird. Yeah, like.
see Serge and Goma.
Yeah.
But
Who we did
no,
see? Didn't we
I
see him in the? He came. He.
yeah, he came back, but like, who knows? He might have, walked the wrong way back into the locker room or something. Like,
Was one thing
really
I
feel
forgot.
bad for the kid.
That was one thing I forgot to mention. Like, all of the young players that got summed in towards the end of the game still kind of carried it through. Like, they didn't panic, which was good to see. But sorry.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that was like, if you would have told me that we would have a front three of like a kid from Brooklyn and two kids from New Jersey and like a back line anchored by two brothers from Massapequa Park, and we'd be shutting out Luis Suarez, Sergio Busquets, and Jordi Alba. Like, I would have asked you for whatever the fuck you were smoking.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, it's it, for me, it's like with Morgan, And then in the topic of getting reinforcements, it's just, it's, I thought of, I thought we needed one before we saw that Morgan still had it. Like it was just, I don't know, more is better. Like in the sense that, like, if you can go out there and get a player, maybe that can take minutes from like Manuel, who has his brief, like kind of good moments, but then most of the other times it's kind of touch and go. Van Zier, despite this past game, that was so far an anomaly. We'll see as the weeks roll on if he can continue on that pace. Maybe he just becomes this like assist generator for us. That'd be great. I still think that we do need another option up top, because we can't rely on Lewis Morgan. As much as we want to, like, I think it'd be good to just have that kind of another option, just to kind of, because I think at a certain point, if Lewis Morgan keeps on scoring this many goals, like, teams will prepare against Lewis Morgan, and then we're just gonna be
I mean, all of us would rather, you know, live in a world where we're like Liverpool or Man City, where it's like, oh man, they've got three world class strikers on the bench.
Yeah, right.
What?
That'd be
like,
nice.
Oh, Liverpool's taking off Mohamed Salah and bringing on Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
How? How is this legal?
That's not fair. That should be against the rules. Yeah, no, it's, and it, again, like, it doesn't have to, do I want it to be a big name? I just want it to be someone that can produce goals and like that has a proven track record to produce goals. Like,
yeah,
if he comes from a league that like is not, I want it to be like a competitive league, but it doesn't have to be like a big Premier League player. Like, it doesn't have to be that. It'd be nice if it was, but it doesn't have to be that. I just want some, and then, so yeah, like, just someone with experience that knows how to score goals. That's basically what I want. So yeah, it's partly me wanting to make sure that like we don't put all of our eggs in the Lewis Morgan basket, and then also just bringing in a player that has experience, and then that can balance out, you know, our offensive distribution. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Thank you, Nerdwish, for the question. And that's going to do it. That's all the questions we got. There were two bots that replied to us. That means we really made it. They weren't the naughty ones. These look more like crypto bots, which is not as fun. That's the one thing I've enjoyed doing. When I released my tweet about like I went to a New York Red Bulls game today, or like they're my favorite.
Oh my god!
Team.
You got so many fucking responses.
There was every time like one of those bots replied to me, it's like some bot posing as a woman. I'm just like, not right now, Cindy. I'm I'm celebrating the New York Red Bulls win. God. But yeah.
Oh man.
So yeah, that's gonna do it for us this week. Next week we'll be back. To talk about the results of the Orlando game, our upcoming game against Cincinnati, and any news and incidents that happened between now and then. So yeah, until next week, guys, we'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Bye. Pat, come back. We miss you. Get out of Times Square.